and amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want you to look there in your Bibles. And someone told me the other day, they said, there's nothing I like less than boring preaching. I like any preaching, boring preaching, good preaching, in-between preaching. We may give you some of all of it today. We'll see what happens here. I like what Abraham Lincoln had to say about preaching. He said, when I see a man preach, I want to see him act as if he's fighting bees. And I'll tell you, there's been times where there's been things in here that I've had to, do that with. And I tell you, though, this is good. What a day it's going to be when we see Jesus face to face. I mean, it's going to be something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, the apostle, is declaring some things here as he delivers this message to a church at Corinth. And we see here in these several verses I want to read, I'll read them quickly if you'll listen fast. All right, so let's begin verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, and then of 12. After that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "The Importance of the Resurrection." The importance of the resurrection. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, we are so grateful for what You did with Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, at the time that He was crucified upon the cross, it was a very bleak moment. Those around and following didn't understand what was going on. When they came to the tomb and found it empty, they still were a little bewildered. But God, You allowed Your Son to be seen. and to be known, to be spoken about, to be written about, to be believed in and trusted on for our eternal salvation. And God, this morning I ask that You would just open our hearts and minds, that we might know and understand the importance of this day, that we might know and understand the importance of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, and that 3 days later He was risen again. Help us in this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Paul's going through probably one of the most famous stories we've heard in and throughout our lifetime. As Terry read before the offering, he said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now it's interesting, as we know God sent His Son, and we believe all of these things, it would cause me to think, though, that there were some in this church in Corinth that said Jesus was not risen from the dead. There may be some here today that would say Jesus hasn't risen from the dead. When you look at verse number 13 and verse number 14, he says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." You see, God in His foreknowledge, God in His eternal plan for our lives, for the lives of the entire world, those that lived before us, those that are living after us, that will come after us, if God willing, they can know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, Jesus lived this perfect life, this sinless life, more than perfect, never committing one sin, but the Bible tells us pretty clearly that Jesus took upon Him the sin of the entire world, the past, the present at that time, and the future. That's your and mine sin. He took upon Himself all of that sin and was slain and crucified upon a cross. And on that cross, He willingly gave up the ghost, dying, and then He was buried, as any dead man would be. As they laid Him to rest, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the one that came by night, they took the body of Jesus and they prepared it for the burial. They wrapped Him in His grave clothes and they put the incense and the burial preparation. They did all of that, and they took the body of Jesus and they placed it in a tomb that was originally reserved for someone else, but a place where no man was ever laid. They ordered the stone to be rolled in front of it. They put a watch there as soldiers were placed. Day one went by. Can you imagine? He had followers. He had many people that would come by and see the miracles that He would perform. The people would follow Him everywhere that He went. If they heard that Jesus was coming to town, they were there to greet Him. They were there to ask Him to do something. Many sick people were brought to Jesus, and many were healed, and many couldn't come, Jesus healed them anyway, just at a request. People that never saw before in their life, Jesus touched their blinded eyes, and they were made whole. People with diseases, people with demons, had the devils cast out of them as they trembled before the name of Jesus. Oh, the miracles that He performed. Could you just imagine with me for a moment the agony that His followers and His loved ones must have been going through after that first day? But they made it. And then the second day, maybe they sat around and told stories about Jesus. Maybe they sat around and they said, "Hey, do you remember the time?" And then began to tell something that Jesus said or something that Jesus did. I don't know what transpired. But I know this. On the third day, some ladies got together and they said, let's go early in the morning and visit the tomb. And so they went. They had their ointment and all of the things they were going to do to the body of Jesus. And as they arrived on that third day at that tomb, the stone had been rolled away. Oh yeah, it wasn't there. As it was rolled away, they looked up and behold an angel. An angel was there and they were affrighted. They were scared. They said, be not afraid. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. And they looked inside and he wasn't there. And behold, as they began to ponder upon some of these things, they went to tell the disciples, and the disciples were told, and John and Peter ran to the tomb only to find it empty. And Jesus appeared to them eventually. He said, here I am, risen just as I said. Don't be afraid. Don't be weary. And he challenged them for 40 days. In the beginning portion of this passage, we find Paul delivering to us all of the people that Jesus revealed himself to. Above 500 people, more than 500 people saw Jesus in his resurrected body, in his glorified body. It says he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. He said James saw him, all of the apostles saw him. In verse number 8 he says, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. But yet with all of these witnesses, there were some that said, oh, there's no resurrection. This never took place. And I want to give you just a few things here, because I want you to understand that as we go through this, that everything in our life hinges upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason we sit here today is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if there is no resurrection, I must inform you, if there is no resurrection, guess what that means? There's no Savior. If Jesus never rose from the dead, then we would be most miserable. We have this as no resurrection, no Savior. See, a dead Christ would be a disappointing Christ. No resurrection would mean no Savior. In verse number 13, he says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Christ is not risen. Now, in verse number 14, he says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. I tell you and submit to you that if there's no resurrection, there's nothing to preach. We may as well just pack it up, just take the suits off, let's just go home, we'll kick back and do whatever we will. Because if there's no resurrection, there's nothing left to preach. We've done it all. We've said all there is to be said. As a matter of fact, our faith, not only is there nothing to preach, but our faith is all in vain. Because there's nothing to believe. Everything we believe, notice what he says, our preaching is in vain, but also our faith is in vain. And if there's no resurrection, there's no Savior. If there's no resurrection, there's nothing to preach. If there's no resurrection, our faith is in vain. You see, we would have an empty faith if we believe as an inadequate man. You see, his death proved his humanity. When they took Jesus and they nailed his arm to the cross, and they nailed this arm to the cross, and they took his feet and they crossed him over and they nailed it to the cross, as Jesus hung there and he looked at his mother and he said, behold thy son. And he looked at John to look at her and he said, behold thy mother.
At that time when he said, I thirst, and they reached up to give him that, he lifted up his voice and he said, it is finished. And the Bible says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. If that ended there and there is no resurrection, our faith is in vain. But I tell you, while his death proved his humanity, his resurrection, oh, it proved his divinity. You see, Jesus didn't stay in that grave. While some may say there is no resurrection, I'm here to tell you today, there was a resurrection on that third day as the earth quaked and the angels sang and Jesus gloriously came up out of that grave. I tell you, there is a resurrection. I submit to you that if there is no resurrection, though, the apostles and the prophets are liars. I mean, let's just face it plain and simple. Everything you would have believed, nothing more than some glorious lie. But I submit to you, there is a resurrection. The Bible in which you hold in your lap, this Bible in which I preach from, oh, it is oh so true, because there is a resurrection. They weren't liars. They were telling what God gave them to tell. Preaching it wouldn't only be useless, it would be a falsehood. He said in verse number 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Paul said that. He said, not only is our preaching in vain, our faith would be in vain. He said, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. You see, if there was no resurrection, can I just tell you there'd be no one to trust? There would be no one to trust. There would be no justification. There would be no anything beyond that. When we see that word there in verse number 14, he says, is our preaching vain? That word there means to be empty. To be empty there in verse number 14, but in verse number 17, where he says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. That word in verse number 17 has a different connotation in that word vain there, in meaning that it would be something that would frustrate our faith, something that would overthrow our faith if Christ be not raised. It would overthrow it. It would nullify it in all of these things. But yet we find that we do have someone to trust. You can trust God. You can most certainly trust God. You see, if we had no resurrection, there would be no forgiveness of sin. You see, all of these things that would be impossible for us today if there were no resurrection. But oh, there was. I submit to you, most certainly there was. There'd be no justification of our sin. You see, who but a risen Savior can forgive sin? No one. No one. If there was no resurrection, Paul tells us that Christians would be worse off than anyone else. In verse number 18, he says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Do you realize what he's saying here? He's saying if there is no resurrection, he's saying if Christ is not risen from the dead, and the only hope we have is in this life, because there wouldn't be a life hereafter. And the only hope we have, you know what he says? We are of men most miserable. I'll tell you what, I like my life. I enjoy my life. But only because of verse number 20. Because while Paul says, what if there was no resurrection? All of these things would be taking place if there were no resurrection. But he says in verse number 20, but now, check this. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. That right there ought to get a glory hallelujah. That ought to cause somebody to shout down the roof, because Jesus did raise from the dead. You can say all you want to do about, oh, well, what if there was no resurrection? Hey, what if there was? How about that? What if there was? As a matter of fact, there was. And we see Jesus here. He's saying, hey, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You see, our belief does not change the truth. Sometimes we think it does. We say, oh, well, I don't believe that. Okay. I wish you would. I beg of you that you would. But I'm just telling you very clearly that you don't have to believe in the resurrection for there to be a resurrection. Amen. You don't have to believe the world is flat for the world to be flat. You don't have to believe that the world is round for the world to be round. Some of you are most confused right now. There was a time when you didn't believe 2 + 2 = 4. You see, we have in our lives this thing where we say, prove it, prove it, prove it. Say, prove the resurrection. All I can give you is the proof of the Scripture. There is a thing called faith, and it is upon your faith in a risen Savior that died for your sins and died for my sins that you must believe and trust. You say, well, I don't believe it. Oh, I so wish you would. I seriously don't mean to sound flippant in any of this. I implore you, I beg you, believe this. Without a Savior, without Jesus dying on the cross and shedding His blood, without Him raising from the dead, there is no Savior. And we must trust and we must believe what God said. Don't take my word for it. Read the Word of God. He said, well, I don't believe that either. Oh. You will one day. I may not be able to prove it to you today on April 16th, 2017, but one day, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. But after that, the judgment. And so I don't believe anything is going to happen after death. I'm so sorry you believe that. But something's going to happen after death. And God is going to look down and He's going to judge every one of us for everything we've ever said, everything we've ever done. And He's going to see one of two things. He's going to see everything we've ever said and everything we've ever done, everything we've ever thought. Or He's going to see the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, that covers everything we've ever said, everything we've ever done, or everything we've ever did or thought. It covers all of it. That's what He's going to see. You say, well, I remember that time I went to church. But did you believe? You say, well, I believe Jesus lived. I mean, there's so much evidence for that, but I'm not sure about this raising from the dead business. Well, He did. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that plain. It's that simple. This could be your day. The importance of the resurrection is it's our life.
It's the difference for us is life and death. When it comes down to the resurrection, that's how important it is. Everything in life hinges upon what you do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What will you do with it? We'll have every head bowed. We'll have every eye closed this morning. What are you going to do with the resurrection? You say, Pastor, I already know Him. This message has been in vain. No, 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 no. Don't miss this. You must do something with this as well, because there's a story to tell. You must tell others. I don't know where you're at this morning, friend, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody's looking around, you may be here and you say, I've never heard anything such like this. You say, I don't know if I were to close my eyes in death, if heaven would be my home, if Jesus is my Savior or not. Pastor, I'm concerned about it though. With what you've said today, I'm concerned about it. Would you lift up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I see that hand. Would there be another? Would there be another? You say, I'm concerned about where I'll spend an eternity. There was a resurrection. Because of that, you can spend an eternity with Christ. In just a moment, the piano is going to play. We'll all stand to our feet. And if you raised your hand this morning, I'd invite you to come. When the piano begins to play, and let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that when you die, heaven would be your home. So when the piano begins to play, you slip out. Anyone else? Anyone at all? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing your Son, Jesus Christ, to raise from the dead. Help us in it, to tell others all around us that they too might know that without it, it's an eternity in hell. Help us in all of this. For those that raised their hand this morning, God, move upon their heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.